Blog Talk Radio.
To the sky!
Keep your head to the sky. Welcome to another edition of Productive News Weekly. Thank you for taking the time out to tune in to Productive News Weekly here on a not quite a midsummer's evening, not quite East time, that is, Easter and daylight time. We're not quite in the middle yet, so we're still waxing. I'm using that term for a reason because, well, we just experienced a moon and now we're waning, meaning that the moon is getting smaller. Speaking of moon, we just experienced a full moon on Tuesday, the first of August, and it is an auspicious moon. It was because it's part of a supermoon, number one, meaning proximity-wise close to the Earth, but it's also one of two blue moons, meaning we have two full moons in the month of August. So special, special. And with that, all those energies coming up, happy birth right to all of our Leo babies out there, born under the sign of Leo the lion. Rawr. I'm energized this evening, and it's just so plumb pleasingly pleasant to be able to talk with you, the listener, who've been there for so many years. It's over a decade, and I'm just proud and pleased to be here with you and for you and, well, of you, which is what our program is about. It's really a program that's intended to encourage you and inspire you and, well, empower you and of course, enlighten you. But really to instill you to get involved, make a difference for yourself and your loved ones. That's right, yourself and your loved ones. Put the mask on you first, just like it says in, the safety manuals on the transportation vehicles, whether you're on an ocean liner or on a jet plane, passenger plane. Put the mask on. Get enlightened. Help yourself. And then help others around you, especially your loved ones, your close loved ones. And that's what we're here about. No talking heads, no influences, or as little as possible as we avoid being influenced by political or business interest. It's just straight information, no chaser. It's vetted information. It's information truly that you can use. And this evening is no exception. And I do have a very special guest this evening. And before we get into that, numbers and cents, quickly, something that came into me today, 34. The number is 34. Yeah, you can play. Well, I don't know if you had to, it's at least a pick three around the country. So you have to put a zero on one side of that or the other. 34. What is 34? $34 billion industry of human trafficking. Folks, it's a major deal. And it's just getting worse and worse. And we're starting to get some whistleblowers out there. Mel Gibson and some other folks are starting to talk about it, what's happening with people in high places. You know, it talks about that in the Bible that I read. And that regardless of what your religion is, I respect it as long as it's grounded in love. I don't mind if you're Hindu or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, Buddhist. It doesn't matter. I'm Christian by faith. And then there are a lot of folks who are agnostic and, you know, doing research to find that higher source. And there is a universal God, regardless of what particular denomination that or genre of religion that you may follow. It's truly about love, truth, peace, happiness, and being real. And that's what we're about, just keeping things honest as we possibly can. Now, I know folks, when they have different perspectives, from their perspective, they are being honest. So it really boils down to some of that logic and common sense. And as you have good, open discourse, yeah, usually you can whittle down to what's most logical and what makes most sense. One of the issues is we just don't have that type of discourse enough. And as I'm saying here now, 34, that's a lot of money. That's more than the airlines, many airlines are worth. $34 billion, folks, and there's a lot of folks involved in that, and high places in government and entertainment, and I believe it's going to come out. But one of the things we do know is a lot of that is happening through the border, the open border. So as I mentioned last week or the week before, this whole election thing that's coming up, it's about values, folks. There's a lot of check boxes that you need to put up on the board and just begin checking them off. I understand there's the whole birthright, you know, issue, right to choose, and there's the issue of perversion in the schools. There's the issue of open borders. There's the issue of financial wellness and what's happening with our economy. There's the issue of our military. There's the issue of just perversion in main media. There's the issue of real information and news versus adulterated and business, politically influenced news. So many things to check mark that one side of the aisle or the other follow and believe in. But one thing we do know, that those borders are wide open. And we do know there's tens of thousands of little ones, children. And I don't care what doctrine you believe in, as I said, Muslim, Buddhist, Judaism, Christianity. In one way or another, there's a phrase, as the Bible that I study and read says, suffer the children. We must take care of the children. When you start infracting on children, that's sort of like a canary in the coal mine. I mean, that's an indicator for what you may be following or not following when you see someone willing to do that. So let's just keep that in mind. So that's my number for the day. Now, in terms of our special guest, oh my gosh, this evening, and yes, we do have a very, very special guest this evening. We're running just a little bit behind, but we have a special guest. And as I said, we're not quite midsummer. There's a movie and I think a song that talks about midsummer. But we're not there yet. And isn't that nice to know? I mean, we still got, you know, more than halfway, right, to summer. And that's a good thing. And I do believe that life is meant to enjoy. And so this evening, I wanted to lighten it up a little. I mean, not that my programs are heavy, because they're supposed to be enlightening, and information is supposed to be enlightening. But let's face it, some of the topics of enlightenment, they can get a little heavy sometimes when we're, you know, speaking truth. And so this evening, we want to just talk about being well, and ways in which you can be well and you can help your loved ones be well. And so with that, I invited someone that is truly a friend and, you know, in some ways a mentor, and someone that's highly respected. At least I highly respect them, and I know many around the world do as well. And we're going to have Miss Eula Pasternak join us. We're trying to get her in studio right now. Let's see if we can get her in studio. Hold on, folks. Let's see what we can do here about this. right? So we'll continue trying to reach Missoula Pasternak. But she will be joining us this evening. And one of the challenges we're having is she's, I believe, maybe in transit, and we're having difficulties with the signal. That's live radio. I mean, I know there's a lot of podcasts out, and things are all set up and just sterile. And I don't mean sterile in a negative way, but I mean really just well set up. I've been part of that. As you, many of you know, you know, working out of studio in New York City on Broadway, did that for 2 years. Excellent with the headphones and the whole gear. Learned a lot about radio during those years with one of the icons of radio, Mr. Gary Noe. I have to give him a shout-out and give him some kudos because he taught me so much. And, of course, you can still catch Mr. Gary Noe on podcast and streaming, GaryNoe.com, N-U-L-L. And that, you know, at a point in time, I, you know, kind of spun off and did my own thing, but I consider him a dear friend still. So, yeah, I understand that environment, and you've got to be on cue down to the minute. When they say the show is going to begin at 10:01, it's not going to start at 10 o'clock or 10:02. But this is live and dynamic radio here, folks. So I just ask that you bear with us, and I do appreciate you for doing that over the years. When you have a live guest, though, you run into these matters. And even when you're doing studio work, and as I was doing studio work, I can remember we used to often have a Mary Baraka, also Leroy Brown, who became a very close friend of mine. Rest in peace, my brother, truly a mentor of mine, along with Dick Gregory. I'll give you another name. Dennis Kucinich. These are some of the, you know, names that I'm dropping names. Yeah, I don't like to drop names, but I'm dropping names. And so there are times when they were traveling. I remember one time I was on the phone with Mary, and we were in studio, and he was heading into New York City. And he went into the tunnel. He says, I'm going to go in the tunnel. Hopefully we'll keep the signal. And we lost the signal, and we lost it for a while. But that's just live radio. Remember, we were doing a live feed actually from the Middle East. We're right on the one of the borders. It was when there was a skirmish on the West Bank. And we actually had a individual who was there doing a live reporting for us, and you could actually hear the, you know, the weapons and the gunfire in the background. It was quite exciting. We had to cut that one short because it became perilous. So this is live radio, and that's what happened. So we're going to reach out again to our dear friend, Ms. Pasternak, and see if we can make this connection now. Just bear with us, please, as we try to make this happen. So, yeah, we're still trying to reach Ms. Pasternak. I see, here she is. She says, having trouble with her signal. Okay, so she's going to be joining us shortly. And I'm just going to reach her through another means. All right. And so, if there are any of my listeners, which I'm sure there are a few, and I'm honored that we have a few new guests, at least, sometimes more than a few, every week. Ms. Pasternak is I like to say, human energy expert. When I say human energy, we are energy. You know, there's many studies that have been done. They say if you could tap the energy of a human, you could light a city block. We literally generate energy. Let's not say that too loud, especially with the Bill Gates of the world around, because this guy is a piece of work. Of course, he's on film making statements such as we need to decrease the world population and we can do that through vaccines. I have it on tape, in fact. No adulterated video or anything like that. It hasn't been, film hasn't been altered in any way. It's Bill. And now he's coming out with his food that is laboratory produced. Let's not put it out there. Let's not put it out there too broadly in terms of alternatives for food, because we don't want to tempt anyone to come up with something else. But Ms. Pasternak truly has done a phenomenal yeoman's job in bringing information about food to the masses. And I would dare say that she impacted a lot of what's happened over the last decade in terms of productively moving forward the labeling through her efforts with various organizations nationwide and I would dare say even internationally. And so when she joins us, which I believe she's in studio in background now, I'm going to bring her to the mic shortly, we're going to be talking about some of that. We're also going to talk about, we can't have Ms. Ulla Pasternak and not talk about just the energy of spirituality. So as we move into midsummer, because we're not there, I'm repeating it again, and I'm pleased to say it because that means we have more than half to go. And summer is a joyous time. Although I do know a lot of folks, let me back up on that one. I do know a few folks that tell me it's not their favorite time of year. For example, I have one guy prefers winter. And I respect all of that. Me, I'm a summer guy. So as we move into summer, I can still say truthfully, there's lots. Who's this? Excuse me, folks. Well, everyone, please mute your phones. So as we move into summer, we wanted to lighten it up a little bit this evening. And not that our, programs are heavy, but when you're enlightening folks with information, real information, some of it can be like, oh, boy, is that real? And you get things that are just the greatest. So we're going to lighten it up just a little bit, okay? I thought I turned this down. Excuse me. So we're going to lighten it up a little bit. And have Ms. Ulla Pasternak join us in just a few moments, and she's going to talk a little bit about how we can enhance ourselves and really get the most out of summer or move towards getting the most out of the summer, health-wise, holistically, talking about foods. We're going to talk a little about GMO. And having a positive mental attitude, PMA, as we say. So without further ado, let me just bring my friend and I like to say mentor and colleague, Ms. Ulla Pasternak, to the airwaves. Ms. Ulla, are you there?
Hello, Daryl. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Hey. So, yeah, we had a little technicalities, and that's live radio, as I was explaining to the folks over the last 10 minutes or so. And I said, it's all worth it. I said, just hang in there. We'll make the connection, because we don't give up easily here on PNW. And here you are, live. So how have you been? It's been a few weeks, so to speak.
How am I?
Yeah.
I am always okay. It's been an interesting week of ups and downs with clients and students, so I'm just sort of catching my breath because everything is shifting so quickly that I'm like, this is a new level of redirecting and trying to keep up and trying to mitigate the ups and lows and things that might go sideways. So it's just like, okay, happy August to all of us, because the first week of it is powerful and definitely teaching us many things about flexibility, about patience, about discernment, about allowing the lessons to be productive, like the title of your show, Productive News. Let us, you know, have productive outcomes, not just spinning our wheel and accusations and blaming others and impatience with ourselves. It's just like, if I can't figure it out, I'm going to put it on pause until I settle myself and then come back to the topic or conversations or trying to slow down to understand better what's going on. And it's been interesting. It's been my favorite word, interesting. When I don't know what to make of it, it's like, interesting. Okay, it's happening. Okay, what am I learning? What are the challenges or obstacles trying to teach me? So here we are in a first harvest energy midsummer. Well, it is a shamanic holiday, and we are
What is a shamanic holiday?
A shamanic holiday is more about earth celebrations, like the opposite being heaven. So it is a sun holiday, celebrating the light coming in and also nourishing, and so the crops can grow. So we have nourishment that comes to earth and we can harvest it. That's our physical harvest, which can be food, which can be projects, which can be real physical evidence that our desires are coming to fruition. So pretty much our physical reality. Every thought comes from heaven, and it's an idea, and then we plan, and then make effort, take action, and then it shows up real, physically. So that's also how the seeds of we want food, so we plant physical seeds for them to grow so we can harvest them, and depending on the climate, depending on where we are in the world, this is the first harvest for many of us, from our gardens, from our farms. And that's something to celebrate. But we also
this
have
is interesting. It's interesting. You know, you're talking about the shamanic holiday, and I did get your wonderful, broadcast that you send out, letting folks know what's going on. But you're talking about a harvest. I'm having a feeling that the harvest you're talking about is not like harvest of string beans or tomatoes. Or am I on the right track, or are we literally just talking about a physical fruit vegetable harvest, or is it more also inclusive of a total being harvest, harvest of thought, mind, spirit?
Well, how inclusive do you want to be?
I want to be all inclusive.
Well, then that sort of expands our spectrum, because we shamanically do celebrate harvest of physical, usually fruit and vegetables and grains and wonderful bounty of this world that nourishes our physical body and our senses with beautiful meals, with care, with the relationship with the gardens or the farm or Gaia and all the beings here that provide for our body, that protect our body, that guide us in our divine human experience. So the other spectrum is, who am I and what is this body for? What is going on? What's my job here? Why am I here? Who am I? What's my purpose? So that's a different kind of harvest, because we can have desires to grow, change, heal, share our light, our love, our passions. And that's a different kind of harvest. And the life is cyclical. So winter is rest, spring is planting seeds. Early summer is watching them grow and helping them grow and enjoying the growth. And then we're starting to see the results of our labors, of our care, of our tending the garden, whether it's the garden in the mind or the garden, physical garden outside of our homes, or helping out on farms. So how do you want to define harvest and room? And is it the harvest in my mind? Because the garden in my mind is full of growing thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it my actual physical harvest, which is pretty cool? I mean, yay for tomatoes.
Wow. You know, when I think about it from an analogic perspective like that, and as you said, you know, spring is for planting the seeds. On a more metaphysical plane, then are we in the spring planting seeds on that other plane, that mental plane as well, to be then harvested later in the year? In other words, is that a time of planning as well? Because I know at the beginning of the year, and we often do this with you know, some of our guests, Dr. Mendoza and some others, and we talk about, okay, at the beginning of the year is a good time for planning and having setting goals and things like that. So is that, you know, is that part of that planting aspect? And then and later, if you do the work, the sowing, and you know, you see the results later in the year. Is that sort of an analogy on that other broader perspective?
Absolutely, but we also work with cycles. So mm-hmm. we work with solar cycles, we work with moon cycles, we work with cycles of our projects. I mean, some projects are daily projects, an hourly project. Making a meal is a project.
Sure.
It can, you know, 2 minutes, it can be 15 minutes, it can be a labor of love, of a good sauce that might take days. Or a good broth that might take days. So it's defined by what we understand and work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You know, I was talking earlier. Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I was talking earlier before you were able to join us about this auspicious time energetically. You know, we had a full moon on Tuesday, the 1st of August. One of two in the month of August, which makes it a blue moon, and the fact that it was a super moon, you know, in proximity being closer than many of the other moons during mm-hmm. the course of the year. So energetically, this is a high tide, so to speak. You want to talk a little bit about it?
Absolutely. Not only that, the sun holiday of the first harvest was also on the first day. So we had double power and double blessings if we know how to connect to them. Multitasking, support from heaven.
Well, when you said the sun, you mentioned the sun. I didn't understand quite what you meant on the first.
Right. Solstice is a sun holiday. Either mm-hmm. summer solstice or winter solstice, equinoxes are sun holidays.
Okay.
Equal amount of light, sunshine, and equal night and day. Well, we also have celebrations in middle between equinoxes and solstices. So we have eight sun holidays and 13 full moon holidays, or if it's a blue moon, then yay, one extra. But if we have them combined, that's a sort of a double blessing. And that's what happened on Tuesday. And mind you, it's not just that day. We have support of its full power 3 days before, the day off, and 3 days after.
So we're still under that energy right now.
Yes, we are.
Ooh.
And one more day and tomorrow. So, yes, we had an amazing end and beginning of August, end of July and beginning of August. A lot of power coming in that we can utilize to look deeper, face our challenges, work through them more efficiently and quickly. But without awareness, we're just overwhelmed and we don't know what's going on, and either we try to dismiss it, numb it, or just suffer through it. And that's what sometimes comes up as a phone call or a text message from a student or my clients for healing work, and just like, uh-oh. Universe is pushing and giving us a chance to make the shift. And if we have awareness, we can work and tools or codes opened in our energy field to handle that, both power and support, without being overwhelmed, or deal better, more efficiently with being overwhelmed. There's like, you know, I remember one of our favorite tunes, What's Going On, What's Going On. It's like, oh, a lot is always going on. The universe is in motion. There is nothing static about anything, pretty much. So is it a gentle and kind and fun motion because we are in charge? Or is it abrupt and challenging and sometimes not just overwhelming, but flat out scary? It's like, what on earth is going on? It's just like, well, it's not just earth, it's also heaven. And it depends on how stable we are, how powerful we are to say no, or I'll thank you for welcoming me and the power into my reality, because it's trying to help.
Let me ask you, if I may. With this being this special high energy availability period that we're in, and I love you sharing with us, you know, those I guess I could call them like sub equinoxes. You know, like most people know that there's four, but you said, hey, don't. It's not just that. There are others in between. You're saying in between those, right?
Exactly. Eight altogether. Four big ones, and it's up to us to make what you say sub holidays, or are they just as powerful as the other ones? Because I try not to judge, because it's sort of up to me how powerful I make the connection and benefit from them.
So that's where I was headed with this. When we're at an equinox and then we have a full moon as well, I mean, that's a big deal, and we can all relate to that. You know, like, okay, there's something special going on with regard to this, the way the sun is interacting and on astronomy type of a perspective. And we can use those energies, and you know, a lot of us understand that because of just simple science. The moon, the sun, the moon impacting the sun impacting the moon, and the moon impacting the waters of this planet and probably every other planet around the universe, which leads me to a question I'm going to ask you before the show is over. And with us being, what, two-thirds water at least, or somewhere in that ballpark, it makes sense scientifically that we would be impacted by, you know, such a celestial occurrence. Well, and therefore it makes sense that, hey, there's some there's some movement, there's some action going on internally. And yeah, we hear those who work in hospitals and health, facilities talk about, there seems to be just a little bit more activity during that, full moon and the like. But then we also understand, those of us who are enlightened, that, that's energy, and it's not necessarily good things, because who wants to be in an emergency room, at any given time, because it means something traumatic has happened. But there's other things going on. There's positive things. There's inventions that are maybe happening at a higher rate during that time. There are people who are taking relationships to another level during that time. There's lots of other things that are more productive going on as well. It's not just the negative side of that energy. So that's all great. And I think people are becoming more and more aware of that. I think there's a quickening of mankind as time goes on. And folks like yourself, experts that are able to articulate those things. And that's what, one of your aspects of what you do as a profession is. Now, all of that mouthful said, these many celestial equinoxes, they produce similar energies that we can use?
Yes, and that's part of our awareness, because there are different combinations of frequencies that come in to help us address our energy field, our desires for shifting, for growing, for healing with more precision. So if we can be more specific and more precise, like in life, if we have a better plan with more details, it's more likely to be easier to execute.
True. 100%.
So that's what different traditions, different philosophies, different cultures have as their take on how to specialize, how to be precise with what, with support from heaven and from earth. So that is part of our upbringing, part of our curiosity, part of our adventure of trying and learning and choosing and keeping what works, and if it no longer works, acting on a desire to find something new or give it a try. If we just sort of stumble upon it and it looks or feels interesting, okay, let's give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a menu. There's always a choice.
Mm-hmm.
What do I feel like? And if it tastes good, physically, emotionally, mentally, why not give it a try? And if it tastes amazing, then maybe we sort of stick around and do more of it and enjoy the bounty, the benefits, the patterns that it introduces to us for better self-care and connecting to what we want to have in life, whether it's ability to be more healthy or more joyful or more peaceful or more abundant or withdraw from overdoing things and quiet down, or, I become a hermit, then I need to get out there and have fun with people again. It is based on our self-awareness. And so is so much in life. Our alliances, our relationships. But it all starts with a relationship with the self. Who am I? What am I? How am I? And then make decisions based on that awareness.
Wow. Awareness of self. And our relationship with, I kind of refer to it as the divine.
Yes, it's interesting to work with clients that dismiss it. They only can work with the physical aspect of our being, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to healing, and that might mm-hmm. be very challenging.
Because it's different.
Because there's so much more to us than just the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And our healthcare system limits us if that's all it is willing, able, and ready to help us with. Because a lot of our challenges, physical challenges, have that emotional, mental, and soulful component. Not just what runs in the family, but we are entering a new era of healthcare, self-care, family care, community care, world care, and we have more extremes on both ends, the amazing and the horrible. So how do we adjust to stay balanced or sane or feeling like we're okay, we are keeping up, we're going to do this, it's okay, it'll be okay? Because this week has certainly been like, what's going on? Everybody, not everybody, but many are acting in the overwhelm state, which leads to overacting. So hopefully it'll be calmer and more insightful and back to some sort of a rhythm that is stability and trust, or actual knowing that the universe self-regulates. And we have that choice as well. If we do it well, the ups and downs sort of even out more quickly. And we have stable flow and results and navigate with a lot more ease. Challenges are not easy, but we can choose to navigate with ease and minimize or refuse the drama. Because dramas drain us. And the more drained we are, the more overwhelmed we are likely to be.
So it's a negative, impactful scenario with the wrong mindset.
Well, the mind is an...
It compounds the problem.
Exactly. And sort of limiting ourselves to just science without the artful part to our life, it's like working with half of the fuel.
Yeah.
It is art and science. And we defined what is science, and we defined what is art, and we defined how we integrate them. And you mentioned food, you mentioned working with information. I mean, how much of it can be trusted? How much of it makes sense? And that depends on my understanding. I don't want to be an expert in everything. I can't. I don't want to. I mean, I don't even want to try.
Good point.
But I want to be safe and educated enough to trust that my decisions will help me stay healthy and productive and enjoying my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I want to share with others. I can only share who I am, not the person that I wish to be, only how I am at this moment, who I am at this moment. And that's why I want to maintain as much of the goodness and kindness and patience and stability as I can, because that's what I want to share with others. And if I maintain it for myself, everything is sort of easier to deal with. And there is a lot more joy and fun and beauty in my life because I can navigate and restore that in my life, even if there are challenges, even if there is tragedy or trauma or sadness or other challenging things like betrayals and insults. They only affect me if I allow them. And we have that choice. The only question is, do I have the power to will such results? If I don't have the power, then my free will doesn't have the results that I'm asking it to give me. One of my clients today was saying that the partner has all kinds of good intentions, but nothing has changed for years. And my response is, well, the partner doesn't have the power. Good intentions are nice, but we have to act on them. And to act on them, we need power. We need energy or reserves. Just as, you know, physically we need money to pay for things, we need energy reserves to act and use as our energetic power to put our plans into motion, to create a different reality and see different outcomes in the physical, whether it's the health of the body, whether it's joy in the heart, whether it's beauty in the eyes. We are here to practice how to create physically. And that's what the celestial support, as I call it, from the sun and the moon reflecting the other suns from the universe, is here to support us so we can grow our thoughts, so we can grow our crops, so we can grow into the divine humans we want to be. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. That's my only like bumper sticker that I have on the wall, because I don't like putting things on my car. So there. Change is inevitable. Everything else is an option. And that's our choice.
Change is inevitable and everything else is optional.
Is an option, yep. Growth is an option. Healing is an option. Kindness is an option. Attitude is an option.
Hmm. Everything else is an option. Very interesting. So I'm going to go off the beaten path for just a moment.
Yay.
Just for the sake of interest.
Yay.
Do you think there are other life existence beyond Earth?
Of course there are. We are not from Earth, and we are alive. So
what do you mean we're not from Earth?
We're divine humans. The body, the physical body, is only a shell. It's only a container. It's only a beautiful vehicle for us to learn from this world and help this world. We are children of God. So every philosophy, every religion gives us clues to our
existence
other than Earth. Yeah, that aspect of our being. And those who think this is it, we are from Earth and we stay here, we don't go anywhere, well, then I guess we don't have a soul and we don't have eternal life. Okay. Well, I'm not one of them. I enjoy the ancient philosophies and traditions and lineages that convince me and many others that we are visitors in this world, that we represent light, that we are sparks of that creative force on a mission to train and learn in this realm. And for that, we borrow a physical body from this world. And yes, it does have an expiration date, and we let go of the body, and then what? That's the personal philosophy that we need to work with, and that is why we have free will and choices. And that's the beautiful aspect of our learning of this world. We like something, great. We work with it. We stop liking it or it no longer works. We can change. How would you enjoy eating food if you only had one meal to choose from? Or one outfit?
Or something to think about.
One vehicle. And of course we can be out of control and always want to change. But is it because it's fun to change, or it's nothing is ever good enough, or I have to keep up with my neighbors or Joneses or whatever? And that's a different conversation. But that's also all about choice. And that's why when the science thinks that genetically modified foods or gene-edited foods, transgenic foods, are going to save the world, well, some of them have good intentions. I object to not knowing what's being done and what have you done to test it, so that I feel safer in eating it, in consuming it, or sharing it with others? Is it because you want to alter the DNA, or is it because you want to remove genes so the food can look prettier and last longer? Or are you editing human genes so you have special races or special talents in babies, so that medicine that I'm getting is already edited for either DNA or RNA, and I have no clue that that's what my medicine is. And therefore, if there are bad side effects, no one will hold responsibility or even give me an explanation why there is no desired result. I want to work and represent integrity. So I want others to also have that integrity, and that is what we've been fighting for, to have full disclosure. Just let me know what is in my food, what is in my water, what is in the soil that the food is grown in, what is in that animal who's either, like in dairy products, so if I eat the cheese or dairy products, that I know how that animal was raised or fed, or was it genetically modified? Because I want to know and make that informed decision for myself and my loved ones. I want to know if my bread is made from modified grain or grain laced with cancer-inducing chemicals or edited so it can have a longer shelf life and it's not going rancid. I want to know if the government oversight is planning on checking the science of protecting me from side effects of untested science. I want to know enough to make those informed decisions.
And that's what we're about.
Exactly.
You and I. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't want to be a watchdog for everything, but I am very grateful that we still have a handful of organizations that can be those watchdogs for us. And even with that, like there is an organization, GM Watch, and I like, oh, we're getting a little more lean on the dangers of GMOs or CRISPR technology. Like, oh, we are changing the tune, so I don't know if I can trust their research anymore. I'm not in it enough because I can't keep up with everything. So I choose my battles and just try to stay informed what crops like are in the pipeline, what's possibly already proven to be harmful to my health with genetically modified or with gene edited transgenic technology. And which grocery stores, for example, avoided, not just pesticides and herbicides, but gene-edited or gene-modified technology. So I appreciate, for example, that the Center for Food Safety has resources that I can check and see what I might consider as like, for example, antibiotic use in products, and I'm looking at their one of their reports that I trust about superbugs in stock, like which grocery chains are actually trying to eliminate routine antibiotic use in their meat supply. And of all stores, Target comes out with C, like a grain, right? I don't have anything for an A and B, but I have a C, and Target, God bless, they try to avoid antibiotics in their meats that they're selling. I'm pleasantly surprised about that. I'm disappointed that Costco is on a D list, and most, including Trader Joe's, is in the F category. Fail.
Wow.
So those are my ways of trying to protect myself. And that's how we all can choose what organizations we trust, what reports we want to work with, because I want to support my choices and support those organizations with my spending, not just invest in my health, but also invest in that type of agriculture, in that type of commerce, in that type of attitude towards providing for us. I don't have a farm. I don't grow my own animals. I don't grow my own crops. Yes, I have an urban garden. So, yes, I live on good tomato sandwiches all summer long, and cucumber sandwiches, and a few other crops that I produce. But that's just July, August, and September. What about the rest of the year?
Freeze it.
Okay. That takes sort of more time and effort, and yay. But what about, you know, the greens and this and that, and yeah. We usually eat more than just a couple of vegetables.
Sure. So while you have the chance, and you being us, to have that fresh backyard bounty, we really, like, you know, the base animals need to stock up, you know, build that body up as much as possible to carry us somewhat through the upcoming
month.
But then, you know, there are certain, I'm sure, vegetables that, you know, harvest later in the autumn, you know, your squash, pumpkins, and things like that. Apples,
mm-hmm.
you know, more late summer type of a fruit. Other vegetables,
absolutely.
Collards, I understand, go well into the late
winter.
Fall, winter.
And so do cabbages, and so do, you know, like your spinach and other green
mm-hmm.
crops. I mean, absolutely.
Can handle the frost, yeah. And we need to be aware, as more and more we're finding the powers that be, and you just underscored that when you talked about Trader Joe's. Are you kidding me? That more and more the powers that be are showing their hand. And when I use that term, that's a card term for those who play cards. When you show your hand, you're not going to win the game. Let's put it that way, because folks will know what you're up to, so to speak. And if you get so cocky that you feel like you can show your hand because you can't lose, that's when you go down. And I was talking earlier about some of the work that you've done, and you just shared with us the Center for Food Safety. And I want to stop for a moment while that's on my mind, because I was heading somewhere with this other conversation. Folks, many of you may never realized it. Ms. Ula just dropped a gold nugget, not just a nugget, silver or bronze, a gold nugget. And you need to catch those things. Is it that's a website, correct, Ms. Ula?
Yes. Yes.
Is it actually centerforfoodsafety.com, or is there another name for it to get to the
site? Hang on. Let me. I have it pulled up. Centerforfoodsafety.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks, you know, the only way we're going to combat this deluge that's coming at us, and it's coming at us, folks, because these folks are getting real comfortable. The Bill Gates, I mentioned that a little bit before you came on, too, and he's coming out with his adulterated homemade food, lab-made food, and, you know, his statement. So the only way is through knowledge, and that's what Ms. Ula's been talking about this evening, folks, through knowledge. And knowledge is nothing without action, and she talked about that as well. So, you know, folks, we got to key in, and that's the only chance that we really have, is to key in on key information, like we're getting this evening.
And I'm not saying that everybody who does this modifying is evil. No, they mean well.
Don't do
the research the way I would like to have them do the research about adverse reactions. And some of them,
mm-hmm.
yes, can be short-term, but I also want to know long-term and how those technologies affect environment. And that's a long-term strategy.
Issue, yeah.
Why do we have superbugs? Because we introduced Roundup.
Hmm.
And antibiotics. and abuse them. Not just in human, but especially in animals. So that's my choice in looking for information which grocery store chains try to avoid that, what I, you know, pothole in food production. Because I don't want to be testing the side effects of that technology on my body or my mind, because it is proven that GMOs affect our gut and that affect brain health.
Wow.
I don't want that. I know I can't avoid everything, but I want to minimize it. And I'm grateful I was brought up in a decade or a time where the farm that my parents owned and operated had healthy food. So I know what tomatoes taste like. That's not an average grocery tomato.
What real tomatoes, that is, taste like.
Or a real apple, or a real peach, or a real plum. And that's what I want for everyone.
And we can do this if we'll just open our eyes.
Well, there is a commercialization. There is a commercial aspect of food production. So I want to know who my farmers are, or, like I mentioned, how the food chains or my chosen smaller chains, local smaller chains, get their produce for me. I am grateful I have access to good organic food. And if I can't afford all of it, then I choose the cleanest and healthiest versions of modified foods. So I will choose the foods from the cleanest pesticide or herbicide list. And I will avoid the genetically modified or gene-edited foods the best I can.
Miss Pasternak, this is, we have just a few moments left in this segment. I'd like to continue this. Folks, if you just tuning in, we have Miss Ula Pasternak, holistic GMO food expert, community advocate, founder of the Pure Life Energy Center. And I can go on and on, speaking of, you know, her resume. We started talking about being well as we transition through the remainder of the summer and going forward. On multiple levels, on a mental level, and then we talked about the spiritual and energy level, and we've transitioned into the physical plane, the things that you physically ingest. I'd like to continue this conversation as we just have a few moments left in this, Ms. Pasternak, as I've done so many times over the years. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can we continue this conversation? Possibly. I don't know your schedule. Can we talk offline next week, maybe? If not, the week after, because I really want to drill into this a bit more.
Okay.
Because what you're sharing is very important.
Next week is a possibility. I might still be in my home. The week after, not. The week after that will be.
So maybe
we can
talk about it. Folks, again, this has been a treat. If you caught the end, and I see folks tuning in at the end, go to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and you just pull up PNW. and all of our programs going back, and you can hear Ms. Pasternak in programs over the last year, and she shares so much information and love and joy with us. But you'll want to especially tune into this one. It's like a really good movie. The second time around, you always catch something. You know it's true. You know it's true, Eula. The second time around, you always catch something that you didn't quite catch the first time, even if you're really tuning in and taking notes. So you want to go to the archives. You want to tune in so that, as I'm going to hope that Eula can join us next week, when we pick up kind of where we left off, you'll be right there with us. Folks, we appreciate you. Eula, I appreciate you so much. It's just such a joy being a friend and colleague of yours. And I just wish you all the best for all that you do. How can folks reach out to you and get information? And if they want to get some, you know, personal assistance for themselves or their loved ones, how shall they reach out to you?
Well, phone number 610-850-3319. Email, my last name, Pasternak, initial L, at Outlook.com. And the website, purelife.center.
That's purelife.center?
Correct.
And that's spelled out, not C-T-R-C-E-N-T-E-R?
T-E-R, correct.
Okay. Well, folks, you heard that. 610-850-3319. You'll email her at Pasternak, L, P-A-S-T-E-R-N-A-K-L, at Outlook.com. And catch her on the website, purelife.center. And, of course, you can always catch them at productivenews@outlook.com. Well, that's it. That's all we have for now.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much, Daryl.
Thank you, Ms. Pasternak, Eula. All the best to you. Well, folks, that's it for another week. Tune in and tell someone about Productive News Weekly. May you and yours have a truly, truly blessed an enjoyable week. Be safe, be aware, be knowledgeable, and take action. Tell someone that you care about, that you love them. You never know what tomorrow may bring. God bless. Thank
God bless.
You so, so much. God bless. All right, folks.
Passing by, just believe that love.